Lord Father, I ask that you would take our hearts today and soften them. Lord, that we wouldn't be stiff-necked, that we wouldn't be hard-headed, but we'd be ready to receive from you what you have for us, and that, Lord, as we're confronted with your truth, that we would change. Lord Father, that we would be clay that's easily molded by you with the slightest touch. Lord Father, let us respond to you, our Maker. Lord Father, I ask that today you would hide me, you would take my opinions, and you would take them, and my opinions wouldn't be shared at all today, but your truth would be, because my opinion has no lasting power, it's going to fade away, it's going to be destroyed, but your truth lasts forever. And so today I ask that your truth would be seen, would be heard, would be spoken. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Children's Church, kindergarten through sixth grade. If y'all want to head on out, you can. Kindergarten through sixth grade, headed to Children's Church. Price, you going to Children's Church? Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about. Good. I just saw him walking that way. I was like, man, I didn't know this. I was excited. Numbers chapter 12 is where we're going to be today in the life of Moses. We're going to take a little bit different step today. We're about to enter into a new time, a new church year. We're going to be in January. We're making plans. We'll have a business meeting pretty soon. And our business meetings have always been incredible. They've been great. Only person that's ever voted no in this whole time is Jody. And he just did it. He said nobody should get 100% of the vote all the time. Isn't that right, Jody? Yeah. He does the same with Tamara. He just disagrees with her. I only share that because he did it to be funny one time, okay? So if you really vote no, that's fine, and we won't call you out unless you're Jody. But we want to make sure that we stay united, that we are always united, that we're always together, that bonds, the bond that has held us together, which is Jesus Christ, will continue to do that. And so what you do is it's like a conversation you have with your teenager. You don't talk to your teenager about drugs after they've done drugs. You talk to them beforehand, right? That's the best time. Come on. Yes, good. When they start to date, like, you don't talk to them after the fact, after they've been dating 12 years, and be like, all right, you've been dating 12 years, so let's talk about how you should date. Like, that's not how we should do it. And so you talk about it beforehand, so that they don't walk into those traps that Satan sets. The same way for us, we talk about this beforehand so that we don't fall into the traps that Satan sets for us. Because one thing that Satan would love is for this church to be divided into several different groups. Yep, because Jesus said a house divided falls. And so, so we want to make sure that we stay in this sweet place that we are, where we're not arguing over carpet colors, and we're not arguing over, you know, I mean, people talk about if it's too hot or if it's too cold, and it's really funny. We keep the temperature about the same all year because we saw a study. Sometimes you don't have to. Sometimes, like, did you know Burger King, they don't spend a lot of money finding locations? You know what they do? They follow McDonald's. That's right, Kim. They wait till McDonald's moves in, and then Burger King moves in across the street. CVS does the same thing. Yeah, with Walgreens, that's right. And so sometimes you can just piggyback off of the research of others. And so we just looked at the biggest store that y'all all love to go to, which is the Walmart. I'm glad y'all said that. And so we looked at, they did research on the temperature. Did y'all know that? The temperature that most people are calm. And so it's like 71 degrees, and so we keep it there all year. And sometimes people are, it's too hot, it's too cold, but the temperature never changed. Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange? It is so strange. And so what happens is, with that, it's this idea for us that we have those discussions, but we're not arguing over it, you know. We're not having bad discussions. And so I'm excited that we are a church where we are, but in order to continue to be, as I spoke, look, Brian's listening to the crowd. He's hot today.
No, I'm hot.
You're hot? You're hot? You're hot? Hey, I think we're taking a vote right now, so. Yeah, Jeffrey, you can turn it down. I got a hoodie on, and I thought it was just me, but it's all right. Now, Numbers 12, this very interesting thing happens. Moses is confronted with dispute from within the camp. Within the camp. Now, they've had this before. They've had people from, like we talked about last week, Egypt was going to destroy them. And they ran, and God took care of that situation. Other enemies have come at them. Yes, there's been some complaining within the camp where they're like, hey, I wish we could have gone back to Egypt, but we've come out here to die. They've had some of that complaining, but here we actually have a conflict from within where there are different groups that are starting to emerge, and believe it or not, it's from people that are closest to Moses. Those are the ones that hurt the worst, isn't it? Those disagreements, those arguments, that backbiting that comes from the people closest to you. So we're going to hear about a woman named Miriam, which is Moses' sister, and Aaron, which is Moses' brother. Okay? So here's where it picks up in Numbers 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron begin to say bad things about Moses. Now, I want you to hear, the Lord heard this, and so it's as if this was done in secret. Little groups here and there. Don't you know this is how it works? So Miriam and Aaron begin to say bad things about Moses. That's because Moses had married a woman from Cush. This is Ethiopia. Okay? So again, this is, he had married a Gentile, and not just a Gentile. This would have been an Ethiopian. And so very dark skin, we would consider black. And so they were upset about this. In verse 2, has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they ask. Hasn't he also spoken through us? A question. And the Lord heard what they said. Whew, what a division. Just reading this gives me hives almost. That's one thing I hate. Anybody like conflict? Really, Clay? You like conflict? That's how you stood up. We don't like, now there are some people who like conflict. There are some people that love drama. You know those people in your life. There's probably some of those people in your family, and you're going to get to spend some time with them in like 2 weeks at Thanksgiving. Okay, and so they love drama. But for most of us, we don't. Here, we're going to have drama that's taking place. And Mary and Aaron, there was division in the camp because of what they were saying. And what they were saying was behind closed doors. And if you notice, the things that they were saying, they weren't just right out accusing Moses of anything. They had questions. Isn't that something? They had questions. But they hid their intentions within prejudice. Watch. There was division in the camp, but the seed was hidden. Look, their true seed, what they really were upset was Moses was in charge and they wanted to be in charge. Moses was making the decisions, but Miriam and Aaron wanted to make some decisions. They wanted to be seen as important. But what they did was they hid this, and the first way they attacked Moses was through prejudice. They found something that most people would agree with. Can you believe Moses married that black girl? I just got tense. That's what they were saying. That's not what I was saying. That's what they were saying, okay? I was quoting them. They were saying, can you believe he married that black girl? That Gentile? Have you seen him? Did you know? And because there's the story. Did you know he was... His boy wasn't even circumcised at first. And got these people who had this disagreement. It's really an ungodly disagreement. This ungodly disagreement. And got them a group together. And then within that group, there's this understanding that the true source of division was the direction. Not that he was married to a Gentile. The true division was because they wanted to go a different direction than Moses. Than the Lord, really, because Moses is just speaking on behalf of the Lord. And so then they started within this group that they've already got together with this idea of, can you believe he married this Gentile, this black girl? Can you believe he did this? Then within that group that they've pulled to themselves, the Miriam and Aaron supporters, you could say, they started going, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Like, do we really think, is he the only person? And then they asked them, he's also spoken through us. You saw me throw the rod down and it turned into a snake. You saw that, right? You saw how that happened. You saw us there with them the whole time. And so started to build their case. Now, for us, this is where we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we're not... Now, listen, for us, nothing wrong with what people call cliques. Cliques are a good thing, especially if they're built on the idea that we're doing life together, because there's too many of us to do life together. If we're going to have a, you know, cook and invite people over, there's a lot of people here. I don't know any house, but if you cook and you invite two or three people over, two or three couples over, that's what we need to be doing. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what we need to be doing. But when it's based on division, this is where the problem happens. When it's based on godly things, it's a great thing. Jesus had cliques. He had his 12, didn't he? Yeah? He did special things with those 12. He had within the 12, he had three. He did special things with those three that he didn't do with anybody else. He went to the Mount of Transfiguration with the three. And even within the three, he had the one that he loved, that he loved like a brother, or even you could say like a son. The one that would take care of his mother after he dies and is resurrected and ascended into heaven. And so there's nothing wrong with that, and if it's based on godly things. But as soon as it starts to be based on things of hatred, now there's a problem. Can you believe he does that? Can you believe she does that? Do you really think this person is godly? And now you have all this, especially when it's discerning the direction of the church. Now, follow me there, because there's good times to ask those questions, but if that's what your whole relationships are built on, there's a problem. Look at verse 3. What do we know about Moses? So we found out something about Mary and Aaron. Let's find out something about Moses. Moses was a very humble man. In fact, he was more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. What an incredible statement. The most humble man on the face of the earth. Now, I used to, and I think I've preached this, and I've changed my mind, or the Lord's changed my mind on it. That's the way he does. He grows us a little bit. And I used to believe that he was humble because of his past, because he was a murderer, and then God called him. But what we see here, he's probably the most humble person on the face of the earth, is because the scripture we're going to see here and in the past, it says that he spoke to God face to face. And I don't know if anything else could humble you more than that. He's talking to God face to face. Now, not God's full glory, because he would die, but a small amount of God's glory. He was talking to them face to face, and they were talking word for word, really is what it's talking about. And so he was humbled because he realized who he was. You remember the prophet, when they saw God, he goes, I am a man of unclean lips that live among a people of unclean lips. It's hard to be proud when you're in the presence of the Lord. It's hard to be proud. And so humility marks true leadership, especially within the church. Because those people who were most humble are the ones who have a closer relationship with God, because you can't be proud and have a close relationship with Christ. You just can't do it. If someone's proud, if someone's haughty, they obviously don't have that close relationship with the Lord, and therefore we shouldn't follow people that are doing what they want to do. We should follow people that are humble, that are in the presence of God. So faith... it shows faith in the action of God. It shows, let me get my words just right for this, okay? Moses is saying, I don't have to fight my own battles. I know the one who fights for me. He could have got all up in arms with Miriam and Aaron here. He could have gathered his people together, and he had people that would take up arms for him. We've seen that. He's called people to himself and says, "Hey, I need you to defend me, take up arms," and they did. He could have done that, and you know he's heard these things because, look, as much as we want to think that when we tell somebody something and say it to ourselves, does it really? Yeah, no. Some people can't wait to tell the prayer request to somebody else. They can't wait to tell that prayer request, "Hey, we really need to be praying for so-and-so." Why? Well, I'm not supposed to say anything, but... And the gossip's disguised as a prayer request. And so, but here's Moses hearing these things, and he doesn't take action. He is humble. He understands that the fight is not with Miriam and Aaron. Really, Miriam and Aaron's fight is with the Lord. Is with the Lord. And in our natural tendency, our flesh wants to fight against the Lord. Our natural tendency, our flesh wants to fight against God. We have to keep our flesh in check. In verse 4, it goes on, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. He said, 'All three of you come up to the tent of meeting.'" Now, who knows what's going through their mind? Only thing I can think of is when I was a kid and they came over to the intercom, "Can Scott Stringer please come to the office?" It was never a good thing. Like, I wasn't winning a prize. Student of the month was out of the question. If they call me, and especially if they didn't say, "He's checking out." If he said, that's fine. But if he said, "Please come to the office," I knew. And that's what I could picture. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, please come to the tent of meeting. So in verse 5, "Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent, and he told Aaron and Miriam to come to him." This is worse. "All right, now that you're up here, Aaron and Miriam, come talk to me." The two of them stepped forward, and the Lord said, "Listen to my words." And we'll pick up in 6 in just a second. The reason that Moses could be humble in this situation was because he knew that God would solve the disagreement. God has a way to solving disagreements. He has a way of taking people out of the equation. And I'm not always saying making people dead or sick, or he just has a way of taking people out of the equation sometimes. Sometimes there's this idea of something that is going on, there's this disagreement, and then the next thing you know, that person gets a new job and has to move away. Has that ever happened to anybody? And now all of a sudden it's like, wow, my workplace is so much better. Yeah. Or maybe you know, in ministry they just feel like they need to be in a different ministry or a different place. And I'm not saying every time you move it's because it's a bad thing. And we're so glad God calls people here, because we believe God has a place for all of us to do ministry. And sometimes he calls people who have gifts to help build a church up. But then sometimes people leave and it's like, whew, praise the Lord for that. Y'all didn't know that happened, did you? You know, used to letters, let me just say, some people ask about church letters and why we don't do church letters anymore. You remember in the old days? We'd like to move our letters to this church. Anybody ever, you remember that? Like to move our letters to this church. And the reason we really don't do that, we focus in on membership. We'll be talking about over the next, few weeks a little bit. But is because in the old days, if you were a troublemaker at one church down the road, let's say church A, and you moved to church B, and you went to church B, and it's like, "I want to move my letter." And they're like, "Okay." And so church B would contact church A, and they're like, yeah, you don't, they're under church discipline. I can't move their letter. And so then you were still under church discipline in church B. But now what happens is, church A, you're a troublemaker there. You move to church B, and they won't move their letter. Like, praise the Lord, yeah, let's get them gone. And that's the reason. It doesn't function the way that it should. And so here, God has a way of solving disagreements. The best way is when God softens the heart of both parties and grace and mercy is shown in repentance. All those things are shown in all the parties, and we focus in on what God wants us to do instead of what we want. That's the best solution. But even if that doesn't happen, sometimes God will move people out of the way to solve the disagreement. The root would be, in this experience, it would be exposed. Like, God is about to expose them for who they are. What's done in secret will be brought to the light. That's a scary verse for all of us. And then one day it may just be brought to the light when we're in the presence of Jesus. But sometimes it's brought to the light while we're still here, especially if it has an effect on people around us following Christ. And so as things are done in the dark, it's brought into the light, the root would be exposed, and their root was not so much that they were prejudiced against Moses, his wife, but they wanted to be in charge. They wanted their way. In fact, we see that what's going on here is they are wanting their way because they're very selfish. Let's keep going in verse 6. Jesus, or God, this is really Jesus appearing in the cloud. But in verse 6, God continues. He says, "Suppose there was a prophet among you. I, the Lord, make myself known to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true for my servant Moses. He is faithful in everything he does in my house. With Moses, I speak face to face. I speak with him clearly." So he's saying, I speak with him word for word. I'm speaking to him as somebody would speak face to face. Not in letters, down here it's going to say riddles, not in mysteries, not in dreams, not in visions, not any of those things, but clearly, okay? I do not speak in riddles. I let him see something of what I look like. You see, not everything, because he couldn't handle it, but something of what I look like. So why are you not afraid? Why are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The Lord was very angry with them, and he left them. Now, let me get something clear. Moses is a special situation. We don't have a Moses. Nope, if any pastor claims to be a Moses and have the authority that Moses has here, they're wrong. I've never gone to a tent of meeting and spoke to God face to face, and then, as we learned Wednesday, showed back up to the camp, and I've been in such the presence of God that my face is glowing from his presence, and I have to cover it with a covering. I'm not Moses, and no minister is Moses. You understand what I'm saying? Because some people would say, you speak against me, you speak against the Lord. That's not true. Because ministers, pastors can make mistakes all the time. And any pastor that claims to be and have this so much authority, don't follow him, because he's a false prophet. That should get an amen, right? Preachers can be wrong. Amen. There you go. Yes, they can be wrong. So God was angry because the vision is rooted in selfishness. Aaron and Moses was being exposed here. His selfishness. In fact, one of the ways that God's power was displayed was when Moses would stick his hand into his cloak and pull it out, and it would be covered with what? Leprosy. We're going to see here Miriam's going to be covered with leprosy, but she won't have any way to have it removed. God's like, you're trying to get your way. This is selfish. It's Romans 12. Just write this down. Romans 12, verse 17. He says, I'm warning you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who try to keep you from staying together, trying to keep you united. They're trying to cause disunity. They want to trip you up. They want to teach you things opposite of what you have learned. So they're going to teach some heresy in there with you. Stay away from them. People like that are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving only themselves. Go back. They are serving only themselves with smooth talk and with words they don't mean. They fool people who don't know any better. So we have these people. So Miriam and Aaron are these people that are selfish. They want to have that place of power. They want to have that place of prestige. They want to be there, and Romans tells us, watch out for these people because they're just selfish. And not only are they selfish, it says in Romans that they will trick people around them with smooth talk and with words they don't mean to fool people. Isn't that what Mary and Aaron was doing? Does God only speak to Moses? It's pretty smooth, isn't it? Doesn't God also speak through me? That's pretty smooth, isn't it? So they're going to speak with these smooth words to get people around them. And what we found already with Moses is, where does true unity come from? Unity is rooted in Christ and in humility. This is where unity comes from. It comes from us following Christ and being humble with one another. Not arrogant. Not forcing our way. If you remember, love is patient and kind, isn't it? Not forceful. It's not boastful. Doesn't keep records of wrong. So here, and now let's keep going so I can get through. Man, I got a lot I want to get through. And again, I'm trying not to share my opinion today, because to share my opinion would cause division. And I don't want to cause division on a message on unity. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? That'd be like trying to teach somebody how to cook and you burn the food. Verse 10. When the cloud went up from above the tent, there stood Miriam. She had a disease that made her skin as white as snow. Aaron turned towards her. He saw that she had skin disease. Now, some people ask, why in the world did Miriam get it and not Aaron? Probably because Miriam was, she was probably the one that caused all this and just brought Aaron along. Yeah, she instigated all this. He's not the first man to be led astray by a woman, but in this, he was here. And we find Aaron really is easily led astray. You remember when they were waiting on Moses to come down the first time from get the Ten Commandments? They said, make us an idol, make us a god. And they gave him the gold and he made him a cow. And so he's easily led astray. But so probably here, Miriam's the one that... Again, let me go back. He's a follower, which is a good thing if he was following Moses. Because every Moses needs an Aaron. But he was following the wrong thing. So if you're a follower, there's nothing wrong with being a follower. It's just you got to make sure you follow the right person or you follow the right direction from the Lord. Okay? So in 11. So he said to Moses, we have committed a very foolish sin. Please don't hold it against us. Don't let Miriam be like a baby that was born dead. Don't let her look like a dead baby whose body is half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord. He said, please, God, heal her. Man, this is huge. Talking about humble, merciful, graceful. Because some of us were like, no, Miriam, you made your bed. You lay in it. But no, he pleaded. Please, God, heal her. The Lord answered Moses. He said, suppose her father, now this is the Lord speaking, suppose her father had spit in her face. Then she would have to be put to shame for 7 days. So keep her outside of the camp for 7 days. After that, you can bring her back. So Miriam was kept outside the camp for 7 days. The people didn't move until she was brought back. Man, can you imagine hearing that from the Lord? All right, Miriam, here's your punishment. If your daddy spit in your face, you'd be shamed for 7 days. Let's do that. What he's saying is, me as your father and putting you into a punishment, you've shamed yourself, you shamed me. Go out of the camp for 7 days. Go to your room and think about what you did. Go to your room and think about what you did. Meditate on that. Be outside. Be away from the influences, the things that caused you to go down this road. Be away from the people that are going to gossip in your ear. Be away from those and refocus on who I am. So this punishment was also rooted in mercy. Here's what we see, though, at the end of this, is that the sin of division stopped the camp from moving. It says right there, they couldn't move until she was brought back. They were ready to move, but they couldn't move until she was brought back. So the sin of division stopped the camp from moving. They had to wait 7 days. Can you imagine? I'm ready to go. I don't know about you, but when I go on a trip, I time our stops. And there's always someone who's the last one. I won't say who, but they can't make up their mind on what they want to eat or drink. Or there's another one that takes too long in the bathroom because they got to look in the mirror and make sure everything. We're just in the car. But we got to go. Like, when I'm done pumping gas, we should be on the road. Amen, men? Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, we'd be waiting on Kim. And so she said, yeah, waiting on her. It's all right. Sometimes, but right here, they're ready to move, though. And old Miriam's like, mm-mm. They can't go anywhere until she's brought back. So what does that tell us? Division in the church will keep the camp from moving. When we have division within the church, why is it so dangerous? Because the division stalls the movement of God in a group of people. Because He is not a God of division, He is a God of unity. And if we're going to represent Him, He will not let us represent Him divided. He will only let us represent Him united. 1 Corinthians 1, brothers and sisters, I make an appeal to you. Do this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask that all of you agree with one another in what you say. I ask that you don't take sides. I ask that you are in complete agreement in all that you think. My brothers and sisters, I've been told that you are arguing with one another. Some people from Chloe's house have told me this. Here's what I mean. One of you say, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Peter. And still another says, I follow Christ. Now listen to what 13 says. Does Christ take sides? This is a huge statement because at first I was like, yeah, He takes sides. But He doesn't. Watch. Does Christ take sides? Did Paul die on the cross for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's saying all these divisions that you have are based on things that aren't godly. And the idea of this question, does Christ take sides, was interesting. And the reason that it's interesting, because we think that Christ takes sides. He's on my side. No, He's not on my side. I can be on His side, but He's not on my side. It's a big difference. There's a huge difference there. Like, I can see where Christ stands and I can line myself up with Him because He's the cornerstone, not me. Like, He does not line up everything who He is based on who I am. I line up everything about who I am based on who He is. And so we can be on Christ's side, and some of us are like, well, the Scripture talks about how, you know, He's... We have to line up with Him. We're not going to make our case to Christ and say, here is what I think, here's my opinion, here, here, here. And somebody else says, here's my opinion, here's what I think. And Christ goes, I'm with them. Christ is going to say, here is where I line up. Do you line up with me? Think about who is right. Jesus Christ. Jude 1 tells us further, says, they told you in the last days, so this is talking about the last days, they'll be magnified, but it still happens today, and some of us believe that we are in the last days, but they told you in the last days, some people will make fun of the truth. They will follow their own godly desires. They are people who separate you from one another. The selfish people separate you from one another. They do only what comes naturally. What did I say? Our body naturally hates the things of God. They are not led by the Holy Spirit. So why in the world would God allow divisions within a church to take place? Because, you know, He can put a stop to divisions at any moment, any time. Like, wouldn't it be cool if He would just come down in a pillar of cloud? I mean, that'd change some things, wouldn't it? But in 1 Corinthians 11, so we were in 1, in 1 Corinthians 11, it goes further. It says, here's the reason why. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. So he's saying, I know there's divisions that exist. He says, and in part, I believe it. In verse 19, for there must be factions or divisions among you. Why? So that those who are approved may become evident among you. He's saying, I do this. I allow divisions so that we can separate the wheat and tares a little bit, so we can separate the goats and sheep a little bit. Really, he's saying, so that the false prophets, because, you know, you hear this most quoted scripture now. It used to be John 3:16, not anymore. The most quoted now is, judge not, lest you be judged. But the whole idea is that we're not judging based on our own standard, because it says if you judge somebody, the standard by which you're used to judge them will be used to judge you. Okay? But we all are judged by the standard of Jesus Christ. Yes? And so we can look and say yes, and we should do that, because brothers and sisters should do that. And look, if I think I'm like Ronnie, if I think Ronnie's doing something, I should be able to go to Ronnie and be like, Ronnie, here's what's going on. Here's what Scripture says. That's holding each other accountable. If I'm doing something, Ronnie should come to me and say, hey, what you said up there on the stage, that was wrong. Here's what Scripture says. And we correct one another. Is that right? We're not judging. We're using the Word of God to correct. Okay? Here, it says you can tell them by their fruits. God allows divisions within churches so that fruit can be revealed, so you can know, one, if the leaders that are in charge are godly. And you can find the people within church that are just there that are selfish to divide. And the ones that are selfish that want to divide the church, you should put them over here, not like excommunicate and kick them out because they need Jesus, but they should be put over here and not have any influence. Not have any influence. So how do we know this? Okay, now here's where it all comes down. We're almost done. So how do you find yourself on the right side? How do we know? Because here it says that these people can speak with, man, such cunning words, these smooth words, and it says it fools people who don't know better. And so how do we know this? Okay, one, how do we know? Here's some questions that we can ask about if there's a division within the church. So if we ever have a division within the church, here's the questions that we should ask ourselves to see who's following Christ. Who's right in this? Who is the one that's following Christ in it? Here's one. Where do godly people stand? The people that you know of within the church that are considered godly, where do they stand on the issue? Not saying that they're always right, but you know them as being faithful to Christ. You know them as people that have lived a life of faithfulness. This can give you a good clue. It's not going to give you the entire answer, because faithful people can go the wrong way. Am I right? But it gives us a clue. It gives us a place. It gives us a place to start. Here's another one. Which side is demanding? Whichever side is demanding is not showing humility, which we'll get to in a minute. Which one is demanding is not showing mercy and grace. God's not demanding. God lays this out, he tells us the truth, and then he gives us, in a loving Heavenly Father way, a choice to accept it or not. He wants us to love him. He wants us to be faithful to him. He wants us to do, like at the end of the service, the one that everybody thinks of, tithe. He wants us to tithe. But he doesn't demand it. And so if there's any side that is demanding, and I would include this because this is something that I learned, and I didn't realize this until I was older. The side that is unwilling to let you talk is usually the one that is demanding. Do you know what that means? Like, they have an argument, you have an argument, they share theirs, and you start to share yours, and they just get louder, are usually the ones that are demanding. The ones that have to be heard. Which side, if there's a side that is demanding, which side is manipulating? Which side is having the conversations on the side with this group or this group and putting things into place? Which side is manipulating? Which side's saying the things like, hey, does God really speak only through Moses? That's pretty manipulating. Didn't God speak through us too? Which side is one that's manipulating? We know this is a sign of being influenced by the evil one because Satan was very influenced. Did God really say that you couldn't eat from this tree? It's funny. He doesn't have any new tricks, but we still fall for the old ones. Did God really say? So that's a good one. So where do godly people stand? Which side is demanding loud? Which side is manipulating? Now watch this. Which side can't move forward? Now this is important. What did we just see? Couldn't move forward because of this. This idea of moving forward. They get stuck. They get in a rut. They get in a place where they can't move forward. And what does that mean? Okay. I've been in meetings, not here, thank goodness, but I'm trying to be very kind. I've been in meetings where decisions have been made, and then after that, other small meetings took place, and another decision was made, to which now we have to come back and do this other meeting again, which we decide, but then we have another small, and then we can't move forward and do anything because there's this not allowing things to move forward. Sometimes in moving forward, you have a mature and an immature place. Would you agree that maturity level of everyone's a little bit different? Yeah. And you can only move people as far as their maturity level is. You with me? Is that right? Like, I can scream it. If I had a small child that couldn't tie their shoe, like, I could lead them and teach them how to put Velcro shoes on. Yes? Y'all remember Velcro shoes? Fast. But I couldn't lead them to tie their shoe because they just tied in a knot or whatever. They're not mature enough. They don't have enough understanding. And so sometimes we only go as far as Velcro shoes when really we need to go tie shoes, but we can't go that far because people aren't ready yet. You with me? And so in this moving forward place, some people want to go so far, so fast, and leave people behind, and that is not a very mature place. They couldn't move forward because of the immaturity of, here, Miriam. The selfishness of Miriam. 7 days. And so the ones who can't move forward after that was the wrong decision. Okay, it is, it wasn't, the church has said, and we think that within a body of here, man, incredible news, we have like, let me see what it was, incredible, y'all can clap for this, 146 people today in this first service. Yes, 150, it changed, 150, that's better, 150. I like those round numbers, all right? And so 150, and we believe that God would speak if 150 people get together that are led by the Spirit of God, that a majority of the people are led by the Spirit of God. And so once it's made, we move forward, whatever decision, right, wrong, indifferent, whatever, and we make the best of it. And if God needs to move in a different way, in another way, then He will. We see God being very patient with people like this in Scripture. So who's being patient? Which side is humble? And this has to do with the same one. Humility. Humility. Just an example. Not bragging on me, Brian. Okay? Brandon wasn't here at the time. But, like, this. Would y'all agree we needed a bigger building than what we have right here, right now? Yes. We have a whole other service. It's coming in. Another, at least 100 people. Bigger. And we were like, we need bigger. And all they thought was, those moved ministers just want something bigger. And so we didn't get bigger. It's just got this. You know what? We do what we do. We move forward in humility and we do two services because God's moving and we're not going to let that be a sticking point. You with me? And so the people who was with all that, it was a great decision. We just move forward. It was one of those things where at the time we were new. And people, our faith was small. And God has stretched our faith a lot since then. But at the time, the people, the church's faith was this big. I'd say it's this big now. We couldn't have led people to do this big. God led us to do this big. And we move forward in humility. Not demanding our way. Not saying, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Not trying to manipulate. But take what we have and move forward in humility. This is the right side. The final thing is, and this is not here, but it's based on a spiritual gift. The final thing. What do the people with the gift of discernment say? The people with the gift of discernment, they can read situations, but more important, they can read people. God's given them this ability to know if they're following after Christ, after the Spirit, or after their own desires. And there are certain people here in this church, whenever I have questions, I go to them. I feel like I have some degree of this, but there are people here that have a, like, that's their main gift. And I'll go to them and I'll say, hey, what do you think about this situation? What do you think that the motives of this person is? Because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, is it not? And we need to use it. The same way that we use the gift of teaching and preaching and leading in worship, and the same way that we use the gift of encouragement in every other way. It's just one that we kind of overlook sometimes. Find the people that you know that have this gift of discernment. They can see the situation. They can see the people, and it's almost like they can see through the motives of the person to their heart. And you ask them, hey, what do you think? And now watch this. If all these things line up, most likely you're on the right side. If the godly people say, hey, here's what God is leading, here's what God has said, if the other side is demanding and manipulating, if they can't move forward because they're stuck in a rut, if the side that is that where the godly people stand, if they're humble, if they don't have to have their way, if they're leading in a humble way, take them as far as they could. And then finally, if the people of discernment that have this gift that God has given us, if they say, hey, here is this person. I feel like their motive is this or this or this. You put all those things together with the Word of God, with the Scripture and the leading of the Spirit in your own prayer life, then you will most likely find yourself on the right side. You won't be on the side of Miriam and Aaron. I want to put them together, Marion or whatever. Anyway, so you won't be on that side. This is huge. This is a very important teaching. And I know it's like, this is not quite what we normally get. I get it. But I as I was reading through and just life of Moses and just got to this place and I saw it was a new church year and all, and we're going to have disagreements, and part of the disagreements is nothing more than passion or size of faith. Like somebody may have a passion for, I don't want to pick on any ministry, I feel like I pick, or for preaching, they have a passion for preaching, and then somebody else may have a passion for, I don't know, backyard Bible club. We don't have that, so there you go. And so they're like, we need all the money to go to preaching. And they're like, no, we need all the money to go to backyard Bible club. Okay, that just shows passion, because the one that wants it all to go there, they want to go all out on that. It's just passion. God's leading there. It's just where God's put their heart. And so really, it's when they come together in humility. Okay, yes, they both need to be done. So let's get a plan together and let's figure out how both of those can be done. It's humility, mercy, and grace. Unity is as the Lord leads. Unity. And do you get everything you want for the backyard Bible club? Probably not, because your passion's there and you want everything. But what do? You humble yourself and you move forward in what the church is led to do. God, this is huge for us. Something that we've always had is something that I pray that we continue to have, and that we as a church will look and not just say, hey, I'm right in this. That we would really investigate when there's division with me and someone else, with you and someone else. What do godly people say about it? You think you're like, well, my opinion counts. It really doesn't. Mine doesn't either. I love what Peter and Paul, and I'd say those two guys, man, they are the men. Wouldn't you agree, Peter and Paul? Yeah. You know, they had a disagreement one time. You know what they did? What we're talking about. They didn't say, hey, let's box it out like, oh, Mike Tyson, poor guy. Anyway, I still wouldn't want to get a ring with him unless they're paying me $20 million. I'm in there. Okay? But they said, let's box it out. They didn't say, let's wrestle it out. They didn't say that. They said, okay, let's get together with godly people. And they got together. It's called the council. And they got together with leaders, and they both said, all right, here's where I believe the Lord is leading. This one said, here's where the Lord is leading. And they came to a consensus. And really, it was a weird consensus. It was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. Okay? Here's what we're going to do. And it was all over circumcision. It said, Gentiles don't have to be circumcised. That's not the sign anymore, physical sign. But then it had some Jewish traditions that they do have to keep these Jewish traditions. It's like, why? Because the people's faith were like this. He wasn't here yet.